When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is AM Style, and of course, every Monday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, the show. This is it, In Community Truth. Tonight's topic is planning for the holidays. I know personally, any holiday, not just Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is coming up, but any holiday, for the most part for me, it becomes very stressful and I have anxiety sometimes, and I think a lot of people have anxieties as well. So, as usual, I'm bringing in my two wonderful co-hosts, Bree and Flora. Bree and Flora, are you there?
Hey, hi, yes.
Hey, welcome, ladies and Superwoman. How are you all this evening?
Pretty good.
Doing okay.
Good, good. So I know we talked about this last week about planning for the holidays, and you all have some great ideas. So let's give the callers and the listeners ideas on how to plan for the holidays to kind of make it less stressful and hopefully avoid those anxieties, flare-ups, and attacks. Hopefully I can enjoy the holidays and be in a happy spirit or happy time for once. And for those that do decide to call in, the number is 646-716-9186. If you call in, press the number 1 button, so that way I can place you inside, you'll be placed inside the queue, and I'll see that you have a comment to make. And so I'll open up to Flora Brief, which is one. Want to talk first?
Well, Flora, I was going to say, you go ahead. That way, if you start feeling not so great, you can go ahead and go.
Okay, yeah, just a warning, everyone who's listening in, I've got a slight cold, so we're going to try our hardest to stay with it. I've never traveled during the holidays with RSD, so I can't say much about that. I'm sure either Flora or Andre can talk about that more. Mine is more cooking and getting things ready ahead of time. One of the things I like to do is pre-do deviled eggs. If you do deviled eggs like I do in my family, it's difficult to boil those eggs, get them peeled, get them cut, all that fun stuff that goes along with it, especially when you're not feeling well. So you can do it the day before. The day before you're feeling pretty good, why don't you go ahead and cook up those deviled eggs and put them in the fridge they'll hold overnight. In fact, if anything, they'll be better the next day because it gives time for the seasonings and everything to meld together. Another thing that I like to do earlier in the day is I like to make my mashed potatoes. I like to put them aside in a casserole dish and then throw them in the oven after the turkeys come out while the turkey's settling for that 15 to 20 minutes. I like to do around the same thing with stuffing. I don't stuff my bird. I don't like stuffing in a bird. So I'll either do it on the stovetop or if I'm going to throw it in the oven, I'll throw it in the oven that 10, 15, 20 minutes that you're letting that bird settle. You can make it earlier in the day or even the day before. Once again, making it the day before is not going to hurt it as long as you put it in the fridge when it's cooled down. And then you can reheat. Just make sure it's reheated nice and hot. You can make the pies if you home make pies. You can make the pies a day or two before also. It's not going to hurt it either as long as they're properly handled and cooled. I'm going to take a second break. So, Flora, if you want to take over for a second, I'd appreciate it.
No problem. One of the other things that one of the girls that runs chat with us at RCDOM is she, when she cooks, she always uses a crock pot. I have fallen in love with that idea. I don't have enough motivation to start applying it every day so that I actually have something warm to eat when I get home from work. But every day she cooks in her crock pot. That's what she makes for her meals and stuff like that. And I thought that was a fantastic idea because if you start it when morning starts, you have plenty of time. My mother does it too. They have personal-sized crock pots. They have huge crock pots. The nice thing about crock pots is you can set them on low. You can set them on high. So if you're not going to be home right away, say you are going out to the mall and whatnot with family on Thanksgiving, but you want to have something nice and delicious to eat when you guys come home because we all know that in the insanity that happens on the weekend, you know, you always, almost every family tries to go out in that, and I know it's already hard for us anyway. So when you come home and you have something delicious to eat, there are so many recipes for crock pots and, you know, those different types of cookware out on websites. I have an all recipes account, and I love it because it actually tracks, like, the calories. If someone enters it in, it'll tell you what the calories are, how much it'll make, how many servings, you know, information like that. So it's a really nice website. And then there's also, Big Oven, I think is what it's called. That's another fantastic website, you know, and there's just little things like that. And with a crock pot, when you're making those big servings, you can, like we've mentioned before, the life hacks. If you don't finish it all, bag it up, freeze it, and then you have something you can warm up. Just you put the bag in hot water and boil it up, and you're good to go. Don't even need to take it out of the bag. You know, little things like that. The only problem is with the bags, you don't want them to touch the sides of the pan. So if you have, like, a steamer or something like that that will allow you to keep that bag protected, it might be a good idea. but little things like that are really helpful.
I will tell you, I love crock pots, and I love the idea of using crock pots. I'm not a huge fan of a crock pot in my house. I think it's great. But for some reason, me and crock pots don't always get along. So
yeah.
One of the things, too, that we had talked about earlier this week as we were talking about the show is I know you guys thought it was silly, but I grew up having to baste a turkey every 15 to 20 minutes. Okay, I know we're all going to laugh now, but that can be very tedious, especially if you can't walk really well or if you can't even really use your hands because you have to squeeze that bulb. Well, if you have RSD in your hands, you can't really do that very well, can you, without pain? And if you have RSD in your legs, it's going to hurt when you have to get up and go over and open up the oven and take the turkey out and baste it and then put it back. So one of the things that I started doing was I found in the grocery store one year the bags, the gigantic bags for turkeys. You see those sometimes, you know, in the seasoning section to put chicken in there and then throw the seasoning in and then you throw it in the bag and you put it in the oven. It comes out nice and yummy, right? Well, you can do the same thing with your turkey. They have huge bags that they put on sale right around Thanksgiving time. And you put the turkey in there, with some flour. I'm going to guess that's so the bag doesn't explode. And you let it cook. It not only cooks in half the time that your turkey would normally cook in, but you don't have to constantly worry about basting it because it bastes in its own juices.
Yep.
Which takes less stress off of you to do, and you get to do something else at that point.
Yep.
Like relax and drink a glass of wine.
Yes, definitely. Another thing is my family, a few years ago, someone introduced me to this because my oven died on the weekend of Thanksgiving. No kidding. Just the worst timing in the world. So we had this ham. I was going to cook it up and everything because we're used to putting it in the oven. And I couldn't put it in my oven. My oven was broke. So my former ex's father, who's a very good friend of mine, I love the man to death, he brought up his roaster. He's like, okay, put the ham in there, put two bottles of Sprite, and take a can of pineapple, pour it in there, take the pineapple rings, put them, like, pin them to it so it's actually on the ham, cover the lid, turn it on, and let it cook. And I looked at him, I'm like, are you kidding me? He goes, no, trust me, you will never forgive yourself if you don't do this. So we did. That was amazing. We put a little bit of brown sugar on it, too, to give it a caramel taste. I never hear no.
That sounds amazing. I may have to try that because usually I just get a spiral-cut ham for Christmas and throw it in the oven. But unfortunately, this year, my oven is broken.
Yep.
So I'm looking at having to do different things. And one of the things I'm doing this year is a friend of mine, who, I swear, she's a saint. She is giving me her roaster, one of those big oven roasters that you can put on the counter. And it's got a self-basting lid. So I don't have to use the bag this year.
Oh,
apparently,
nice.
By putting the lid over it, it helps the steam come up into the lid and then go back down onto the meat. And I'm looking forward to it.
What I did one year is, and it's not common to actually go out in snow, or ice and snow, up in the Midwest, I actually opened up my smoker. Stood out there, started smoking the turkey, about a 20-pound turkey, Christmas Eve. And so about 6 o'clock that evening, and by 12 o'clock Christmas Day, it was perfect. I invited some friends over that didn't have family, so I was like, well, come on down, come on over, we can sit, eat. I always made time to make these big pieces, and I don't know why, probably because I always felt that it's time for family, friends, and if you didn't have family, then you're more than welcome to come to my house, and that's what I've always done, except for the past 3 years, I really haven't been the Chef Boyardee lately because it's kind of hard to cook with one hand.
Yeah.
I doubt that I do anything major this year, but who knows? I haven't decided yet. Hopefully I can try and get my hands to cooperate with me. But besides meal prepping and planning, what about the family and friends coming over or people that have pets? They bring their pet there, their dogs to your house. They want the dogs to be at home or, I guess, by themselves for too long. So how do you prep for a house full of guests, I guess, is my question.
Well, on my side that's affected by the RSV, my mother and I both have it. When we do holidays there, and for years, I kind of had to run the gauntlet to explain to the family that, no, my mom was not going and hiding away because she didn't want to be around the family, but matter of the vibrations and all the movement and all the people and everything, it was just too much for her sensory system. You know, what we do is we have a quiet place to get away, and that's actually part of the reason why I bought the house I'm in, is because it's literally across the street from my mother or from my grandparents' house. So if my mom needs to get away, we literally walk across the street, go in my front door, and sit down. Now, with that particular side of the family, they have a lot of hunting dogs. They have a lot of large animals. So it is very, very hard to deal with, you know, these monstrosities that are knee-high, hip-high, you know, colliding with you. So that's part of the reason why we always, you know, found one room that my mom could hide in to get away from the family when the weather, or when all of the movement was getting busy and it was too much for her, you know, so that she could try to decrease that movement. So she'd either pick the den, or she'd go to a bedroom, or she'd come across the street to my house, because it can be pretty intense. How about you, Bree?
You know, like I said, this is really my first Thanksgiving and holidays. And my family and I don't tend to get together a lot during the holidays because my mom, as I've talked about previously, has RSD. But those times that I've gone over to her house before I got RSD, my dad did a lot of the cooking. But he did a lot of the same thing that I do now. He did, you know, a lot of the pre-cooking and then reheating. He would start things early. My mom had a place where she could go and, you know, hide or relax away from the kids and everything else. We don't do a lot of big get-togethers any longer. I know last year they were here for Christmas Eve, and we kind of just did something really small. They weren't here that long because my mom wasn't feeling that well. But the little bit of time they were here, I had... Excuse me, I'm sorry, hang on. Sorry about that. I had prepared some homemade bread, some cookies, things like that, you know, things that we could snack on. I think we even just did pizza that day, just kind of because they were here to, you know, watch the boys open gifts, and then mom wasn't feeling well, so they went back home. But my dad, since my mother has gotten sick, my dad has done a lot of the cooking, and a lot of his is pre-making and reheating as he needs it. And, you know, in all honesty, there's nothing wrong with boxed items and items that you can get in the freezer section or in the deli section. There's nothing wrong with pre-made pies. I say that now because I love to cook. There's nothing wrong with canned cranberry sauce either. Take it out of the can, throw it in the fridge. It's like you just made it, basically. So there's some of my little secrets on how to keep it easy.
I definitely agree. Now, you had mentioned earlier about the travel. I've never traveled during the holidays, but travel in general is a nightmare for most RSDers anyway. With the holidays, I just think of it as the nightmare that you normally deal with, but you're in boxcars and you're packed tight like sardines. You know, I know a lot of people have had problems and expressed problems even with calling ahead with the TSA. They've worked with them to try to explain to them, you know, this is the condition I have. Please, you know, try to be careful. And, you know, some people have even asked the TSA not to touch them. Unfortunately, they cannot do that. So the best thing you can do is before they touch you, say, just a moment. I have RSD. It's an extremely painful condition whenever I'm touched. Please touch lightly and avoid these areas if you can, or if you do, please do it very lightly in these areas so that they understand that those areas are your hot spots, but at the same time, they can still do their job and make sure that everybody on those planes with you are safe. Yes,
right.
It sucks. Especially for, you know, people like Andre, where I shouldn't be hugging him. You know?
Yeah, I did. Part of the, I guess, the document that I wrote up for this came from the very first edition of RSD Angel Express. It was a holiday edition, and that brought us, and I reread that. I saw some things there that, hey, it kind of fits what we're talking about today, and one of the people that submitted something, her name is Allie, she said for her, personally, she tried to stay as comfortable as possible in the car or airplane by wearing comfortable clothes and covering a pillow. I'm also not against melatonin or anxiety meds before traveling. It helps her stay relaxed. And with that, she had to leave to travel back to her hometown. And Jackie also said, she always takes Tums everywhere whenever she travels. The vibrations activate mast cell. If you have a mast cell disorder, which I'm going to find out commonly with RSD, so when those cells release histamine, it will I'll get anything from heartburn to nausea to rashes, hives. The Tums helps with heartburn and nausea, and Benadryl or Zyrtec helps with the rashes and nausea as well. So those are some other things that people can use for planning the holidays if you're going to travel.
Another feature to that, like you said, you were about to say planning ahead. Were you going to talk about the medicine?
Go right ahead. You in my head.
I was
go
just
going
to say, because when you're riding in a car, and you know you're going to be riding in a car, or you know you're going to be riding and you know pain is going to come, no question about it, because you've done it before. The best thing I always do is about a half an hour before I'm going to do something that I know that's going to hurt. I normally take my medicine, so it's got about a half an hour to start kicking in. And that way it doesn't get as bad and then try to have to bring it back down. But I try to make sure that, you know, if I haven't done it before, I give it at least a half an hour to see how my body responds. And then if I start feeling even the inkling that the pain is starting to increase, that's when I take my medicine, because I don't want it to get bad and then try to bring it back down. I want to get it when it's going up so that it can try to stay where it's at or get better. because, I mean, flying, I drive now from Iowa to Dallas. I have done it every year except for one for my volunteer thing since 2004, so since before the RSD. When it was really bad, I did take my blanket, I did take my pillow, I did try to sleep as much as I could on that entire trip. It was hard, but, you know, I tried to sleep as much as I could, which goes back to that melatonin. If you can take melatonin, then it might work. But if you have problems with it, you know, another thing is it sounds funny, but it's what the doctor recommends if you have problems sleeping, but you can't take things. Like, you can't take medicine per se, drink a little bit of NyQuil.
Yeah, so one thing that to add in what you just said is if you're flying or going by bus, or if you're not driving, I'll just put it that way, make sure you keep your meds on you. Never have that checked. This will help decrease stress and possibly losing them. So if you're flying, bus, or whatever, make sure you keep your meds with you. Follow the TSA rules for flying. I don't really know about buses, but just make sure you follow the procedures as far as having your meds being taken with you and not have them checked in. So that way you're always prepared, just so in case of emergency, you always have those readily available for yourself.
And know for every place that every flight that you take, if you are flying, check to see what those individual carriers' rules are about carry-ons, because I know one carrier that I go to, they consider your carry-on to be your wheelchair or your walker. They consider that your carry-on. They don't let you take a purse and your wheelchair, even though your wheelchair is a medical device. Some of them actually consider that as your carry-on. So be prepared to know what those different flight companies that you're going to are. Not just, you know, who's providing your flight, but what those individual companies are, because they may try to separate you from your medication or your medical devices. And if that is the case, if you know that ahead of time, you can get a doctor's note and they cannot refuse you. At least that's my understanding. Is if you have a medical note from your doctor saying, this is a medical device, I have to have it with me, they may be able to address that ahead of time. That's where, again, calling ahead does help sometimes, but it's a matter of knowing who those individual carriers are, because I live in the middle of Iowa, middle of nowhere. So every flight carrier I have is a small little plane, normally two to three rows.
no more than three from pretty much any of the airports I go to. So when you have those small planes, they don't have a lot of room. So they will try to enforce that one carry-on rule, which then puts your wheelchair underneath the machine, and when you get to your next flight for your changeover, that can cause some serious problems because then you have to count on people that you weren't planning on in the first place. So definitely plan ahead, especially if this is your first flight. You know, talk to people who live in the area and ask them how their flights are. Just in general, ask them what the planes are like. You know, who flew that particular plane, or check in ahead of time with your who's providing your flight. They normally will tell you on your flight itinerary that this is Frontier or this is American Airlines, this is Southwest, you know, things like that. So you can look up their rules online ahead of time so you can be prepared.
That's all good advice because I'll tell you, eventually, someday, I'm going to have to get on a plane. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. I also have the SCS, which I have to inform them of anyway, because I can't go through their system. Can't go through the detectors.
Yep. The X-ray machine.
I have to hand them the card that I carry to let them know this is what I have, and you know, can't go through it. Now, I will say I've never been on a plane. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, which means they will try to do a pat-down. So that comes back to the whole, if you're going to need a pat-down, make sure you clarify ahead of time, I have a pain condition. Touch me lightly, please. I will feel your hands hours after this.
Exactly, and that's all definitely great to know. I will say I never personally have traveled with RSD, except for in a car, and it was never longer than few hours, which, trust me, did hurt. But I lost my train. Oh, I've traveled with my mother several times at once after she got sick. And one of the things that we did with her was she always tried to get a seat that didn't have any seats in front of it, so that her legs could be more open. And we always tried to get a seat where there was two of us there so we both could have that seat, nobody else could come by. Her legs could stretch out if she needed. And we were closer to her device if it was allowed on. Now, this was back in the 90s, so I don't know if there was that many restrictions back then, as there probably is now. But we always tried to keep her close to her wheelchair or her walker or her cane to help her get on and off that plane without an issue.
Yep.
And most of them were pretty good about it. I was a kid at the time, so I can't tell you if really any gave her any problems, because I don't think they really did.
Yeah,
but
they
could be very wrong.
From what I've understood, a lot of people have said that it's only since the 9/11 attacks have they gotten so strict that they are very, very difficult now. I mean, it's getting more so even now than it used to be 5 years ago, from what I've understood, because I flew in 2009. I flew from Iowa to Detroit. A friend of mine flew me there to visit him because he's from Alaska, and it was the only time he'd ever be in the continental United States anytime soon. So we went and hung out for the weekend, and it was a very, very pleasurable experience. But since then, it's gotten more intense, especially the last, like, 3, 4, or 5 years. Because I've flown other places over the last 5 years. I have flown to Dallas on occasion as well for other things other than the convention I worked. But, like, going and visiting Jackie and Andre and the RSDSA. I've flown to the RSDSA convention in June, and that one was... That was very different because I normally fly with one or two carriers specifically, and that one was with a completely different carrier I'd never flown with before, which was Frontier. And with as many things that could have gone wrong and did go wrong, they were very, very good to me when, you know, I expressed that this is my situation, I need help. They were on top of it, they did everything to help me, and I really appreciate it. And... You know, it's one of those things that being able to communicate in a calm, as much as you can be calm, peaceful manner when you're in pain, is it's very helpful. Because I expressed to him, I'm like, I'm in a lot of pain, because I did hurt myself pretty bad back in June. But, you know, they were really patient with me. They helped me find a room because I had originally planned to stay with my friends, and because of the storms, it wasn't going to work out for my second night. So they helped get me a discounted room and everything, but they made sure that I had all the information I needed. And that's the thing, is this plans change, which happens. I mean, so many of us, you know, we're taking these flights and we do get stranded, especially holidays. Oh my goodness, weather. Weather is going to be a nightmare for you. Be prepared to, you know, if you get to plan your itinerary, I highly recommend, if you can fly to towns or cities and states that you know people in, I highly recommend it. That way, if something happens and you get stranded, you can crash at their place. Half the time I've gone through, almost half the flights I've gone through Chicago, I've been stuck staying at my ex's or my friend's place just because I did not want to sleep in the terminal that night. So, I mean, it's one of those little things that if you know somebody, you know, just say, hey, by the way, I'm flying through this town. Anybody there that, you know, I can possibly stay with if I get stuck? Never hurts. Facebook's great for that.
That's all. That's great ideas. It really, truly is great ideas. I don't know where I'd be flying to next, but, you know, we've talked about taking trips to, you know, Puerto Rico to see my husband's family or to Texas to see his family. Because most of my family lives out here in California. So we've talked about going back to Puerto Rico soon, you know, and one of the things that has scared me a little bit on all of that is having RSV. Wasn't too sure how I'd be able to handle that. But if I can handle a two, three-hour trip to San Francisco and walking around Fisherman's Wharf for a day with my children in tow, I probably could handle that if I really put my mind to it. It might hurt for a long time after, but pretty sure I could do it, maybe.
Well,
I'll get back to you when I do go.
When it comes to flying versus driving, I will be completely honest. But when I was at my worst pain, driving 2 hours, well, actually, flying 2 hours, I should say. Flying 2 hours, which is up from here to Chicago, so you go up and you come back. So, 2-hour trip, that's like 10 minutes in a car for me. As long as you plan ahead and you make sure that, you know, you try to not put your feet on the seam of the plane, on the outside window, you know, that vibration really hurts. I've done that. But as long as you make sure that you keep your feet away from any vibrations, try to lift it up once in a while so it, you know, gets less vibrations. You know, don't touch any hard metal surfaces. It really does help. So that amount of time, those 2 hours of flying, unless you hit turbulence, and you have to hit some serious turbulence, because that vibration isn't even a steady hum. It's such a random vibration that it normally doesn't bother you too much unless everybody else freaks out. You know, 2 hours in an airplane is like 10 minutes riding in a car. And that's comparing from me riding to, you know, going to the store. That trip, that's what it felt like. The amount of pain that I was at my heightened, at my worst, that's what it was like. So, I mean, flying is, in my experience, the only time it really hurts is if you're sick already, like you've got an ear infection and didn't know it. That stinks. You know, little things like that, which is why I said, you know, going back to the, if you haven't done it before, take it about 30 minutes into it, so, which is about when you go through TSA, get done with TSA and the pain's already starting coming on, that's when you take your medicine. and then, you know, by the time you take off in your plane, depending on how long you have left to wait, you know, you may need to take a second dose, you know, it just depends. And always go early. If you can go 3 hours early versus the normal 2 everybody else does, it really helps. Because, yes, because if you're in a wheelchair, you do go through faster. But
yes, you do. They usually push you pretty much up to the front, if I can remember correctly, with my mother.
Yes. they still do that.
You're usually the first one on and the last one off, or that's the way they used to do it.
That's what they try to do now, unless there is a connecting flight that is a short window. And as long as you let the stewardess know when you get on the plane, she will intentionally say, everybody please wait, we're going to let this person off because they have a connecting flight and they have need as much time as possible. And I have only had one person ever be rude about that. And so it's one of those things that, you know, I understand people in first class are in a rush, they paid extra. I wasn't going to complain. But at the same time, you know, she did ask. So, you know, there's those situations. The best thing you can do is just grin and bear it, because we grin and bear it with the pain, so might as well grin and bear it when someone's being a pain.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that you talked about is taking the medication. Well, I personally don't take medication. I would like to know for my own travel someday, and I know I'm not making any sense, and I'm sorry, I would like to know maybe what happens with the people that don't take any medication. What can we do to prepare ourselves for the flight besides breathing? Because the breathing is great, but let's face it, it doesn't always help when it hits.
I would still,
okay.
if anything, ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen.
Med. Helps with the swelling.
I do fly sometimes, and I do a lot of driving. So, like you said, ibuprofen is a good choice. If I'm going to fly, I kind of cheat. I try to set an early as early a flight as I possibly can, so that way I can stay up as late as possible, or that my body will let me. So that way, when I go to the airport and get on the plane, I'm groggy and tired to where I can force myself to sleep on the flight, to where it'd be easier for me to be asleep. I mean, you can get some ibuprofen with sleep aid in it. I don't suggest that if you're on medications or you might have other conditions. This is just for me. I'm speaking for myself. I've done that just because sometimes the turbulence that they claim that we have on planes or older model planes, the vibrations, they do hurt, especially the takeoff and landing. You will feel that. As far as a car ride, there's different things you can buy that kind of gives you like a, I want to say like an air cushion, and it will absorb some of the vibrations of the car, and it can also work on the plane if you do it correctly. Those do help for me. I have to be in a big truck, unfortunately, because I can stretch out. I will not travel in a car whatsoever, because a lot of times cars are too small, and me trying to climb down into a car and then climb out of it, it hurts me more than just climbing up into a truck where I can stretch my legs out. But I don't take prescription medications at all for any kind of pain for the RSV. I used to. Everything that they kept giving me made me sick. I had allergic reactions to everything that they were giving me. So that's when I told the doctors it's not an option anymore. I'm not going to be taking that medication that caused me to basically break out, start sweating or whatever, or feel like someone will stab me in my stomach. No, that's not for me. I'd rather deal with one pain instead of all of the other pains or side effects. So that's
absolutely. And those are the only things I will definitely take into my brain so that I can remember when it comes down to that time. I will tell you, Andre, it is very true. My husband and I, we own a couple of cars, and we own two SUVs. I'd rather drive in the SUVs, even if that means climbing up. It hurts to climb up it, but I'd rather climb up it than try to climb and sit down lower and try to climb back out.
Right. See, my wife, she's not that tall, and considering I'm kind of a healthy man, Batman Chronicles, it's easier for me to be in something that is easier for me to to get it out. It's either for to pull me out of something than try to pull me up into something or out of something. So if I ever get stuck in my truck, it's either for just, I hate for her to do this, but pull me out of my truck and I just roll off and hit the ground instead of me trying to, her trying to lift me out of a car. That's not going to work. Even though I know that she's intelligent enough to find a way to get it done, I just don't want to put that kind of a burden of pressure on her. She has enough to deal with more than my condition. So.
Now, in regards to flying or driving, I believe that there are heat packs that you can rewarm up or freeze ahead of time. I keep them frozen in my fridge in case my son gets hurt. But the nice thing is that they're hot or cold packs, and they've got little beads in them. They're really nice. I've gotten several of them now from the different conventions. They're really popular. But I believe that they're flight safe. But either that or maybe a towel, and then get it wet and throw it in a microwave, because almost every airport you're going to go to, at least one of the stands is going to have a microwave. If you say, hey, can you put it in for 30 seconds, just a little bit damp, or with the heat pad pack, you know, put that on in places, you know, where, you know, you need a little bit of muscle relaxation, and that's also an option, too.
And with that said, y'all, I'm going to go ahead and excuse myself. I'm sorry not to feel so hot. So I will chat with everyone later. Thank you for listening in. And Flora and Andre, have a good night.
You too.
You do.
Bye.
Bye.
But, yeah, those little heat pads seem to be really, really popular, and I'm wondering if they are airline safe just because they are a sealed container. So
I don't think that they are, but I know inside some of the airports in the, I don't want to say concessionary, but in the, some of the shops, they do have stuff like that, heated pillows and stuff for your neck,
yeah,
and cushions. So I know that they sell that. As far as bringing your own personal, I don't know. Like you said before, call ahead to the airline, whatever airline you're going to use, and find out what they say and explain to them what it is that you have, your condition. And also get a doctor's note and excuse saying, hey, I have this. Please be informed of my condition and what all I need to bring with me or what it might entail for me to have a enjoyable travel.
Yeah, it's very challenging dealing with, you know, this, especially when you're trying to travel, because so many things in the travel experience are so intense. I know, I don't know how many people experience it, but one of the things that I experienced, which I can directly attribute to the RSD, now that I've, you know, had so many symptoms go away, it's one of the things that went away. My sense of smell was insanely heightened. I didn't realize it, but it was, I always had an allergy to certain perfumes anyway, but it used to be I could walk past the storefront, no problem. But I got to the point where I had to walk on the other side of the mall, so another 40 feet away, just to be able to avoid the front of the store because the smell was so strong. So, you know, little things like that, be prepared, because on flights you never know who's going to have a lot of perfume on you or on them, stuff like that. So be prepared. Calling ahead to let them know that, hey, I have these issues, may help you in the long run, because if they flag your account so that they know, they may move you just to help you, you know, have a pleasurable flight. I mean, the few times that I've had to fly, I've never had anyone question my ability because they saw me get on the plane. They saw me as fine when I first got on my plane. But when I landed, you know, and I waited till everybody was gone, and then I tried to get out of the plane because I walked really slow, they looked at me and they're like, are you okay? I said, it's just the way it is when I fly, you know. I get on fine, but it's always an interesting gamble on whether or not I'll be rough when I get to where we're going. She goes, well, if you need anything, let me know. So, you know, they're really good about it. They're good about listening and stuff like that, as long as you communicate in a good way. And kind of goes back to last week's experience, you know, when you're dealing with someone, try to keep it simple, keep it to something they can understand. And, you know, if they don't seem interested, don't explain anything. But if they do,
right,
explain it in terms they can understand, because then they can empathize better.
Right. And one thing that I just thought of when you said about the airplane, I meant to tell Bree this, one of the tricks that I do also is that I experience with my senses the loud noise of the that never ceases to that always seems to send me into a real bad flare, and I'm in so much pain. But what I do is I get some tissue and basically put in my ears to kind of help tune out all of that. So that might be one of the things that you might try, anyone may try and do is, hey, put tissue in your ears. Don't weigh.
Yep.
I mean, just you don't have
chewing
wet ears.
Chewing helps the ears popping, which can be really painful.
Right. Chewing on the gum. Also, like with you and me with the snails, I know it sounds sick and disgusting, but what you can do is, once you get through, I guess, everybody, and you get on the plane, you get in your seat, keep some tissue, stick it in your nose, so that way it'll help filter down.
Help filter, yep. Or when you're at your doctor's office and they have those masks for, you know, contagious diseases, or, you know, you have a flu, grab an extra one. Especially if you know you're going to be flying, just grab an extra one. It's not like we're not normally in the doctor at least once a month anyway. You know, it's definitely an idea. But, yeah, the tissue in the nose, that a lot of people don't realize how much tissues really do filter. They really do.
Yeah, I did that this past August. I flew to Denver, and when no one was looking, I stuck up my whole rod of tissue up my nose just so that way it didn't – I didn't have I didn't feel so bad. Okay. Got a someone that they want to call in. Let's see what they're.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll hopefully have another person calling in. Let's see what he's going to have to say.
Yep, that's all good. But yeah, it's. Traveling with RSD is a challenge. It's something that, you know, you will eventually find what works for you. You will eventually find, you know, little tips and tricks that you'll run across that are random, you know, that you wouldn't ever think about. I mean, the blanket thing for me, we were traveling in a van anyway, so it was something that we knew I was going to be laying down. So we just grabbed a blanket, grabbed a pillow, and I tried to sleep. But,
yeah, I try to take it's hard to take a long coat in the summertime, but if I'm fine any of the time when it's, the temperature fluctuates, well, even if going to Denver in the summertime, you still need some type of a jacket. I try to take something that I can cover myself up with to wear, because they don't offer blankets on the planes anymore, just when my job picks the airline for us, so it, we're limited on all we can stay and do. But the other thing that to help prepare for different holidays or holiday planning for me, and I meant to say this when Drew's on the phone, is despite when you have RSD people coming to your house, don't have a panic attack or anxiety attack if your house is not thick and span. You're doing good from day to day if you're able to just get up and move. So don't put that extra stress on you. I mean, I don't.
I warn you.
I've heard people say, well, I'll just hire a cleaning service. Don't put yourself in a financial bind, considering there is so much that we have to pay for when it comes to the doctor, co-pays for doctor visits, the different MRI tests, the x-rays, the this, the that. It gets to be too expensive. Yeah,
if,
so,
if,
I mean, just...
If someone's going to be judgmental, then they're not very good family.
Right. And
because I'm pretty sure nobody has a spotless house at home all the time.
Right. And that's, I mean, if your home is spotless all the time, then no one's living there. But I just want you to understand that in the holiday time, it's supposed to be an enjoyable home. Don't spend any additional time or energy that you barely have to try and clean every nook and cranny of your house. I mean, okay, so you have papers on your table, okay? There's papers there. I mean,
yep.
As long as your bathroom is clean, your dishes are clean, that's the main thing. And to cut down on dishes, and this is one of my biggest things, is during the holiday time, I will go and invest in paper plates so that way I don't have to worry about trying to do dishes or my family has to. It's easy just to, when you're done eating, put in the trash. Yeah, you might have extra trash, but I'd rather have extra trash instead of me trying to worry about trying to clean 20, 30, 40, 50 plates plus silverware and cups.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yes, it is a little bit, you know, informal, but you know what? It's family. If you do picnics all the time, you're using those. It's not like you're using the fine china for picnics.
Right.
So, you know, why worry about, you know, busting out the fine china if you know that there's a possibility you're going to bust the fine china? You know, it's, I definitely agree. The having the trash and throwing it away, we actually moved to that in my mother's family about, I think we did it for about the last 10 years, just because it was easier on Grandma when it came to everything was all said and done, because we still had to wash the crock pots. We still had to wash the pots and pans and stuff like that. And, you know, if you have a family, like a couple family members, you know, that are coming over for dinner, you know, it doesn't hurt to say, hey, you want to do this or you want to help me with this? And, you know, that's what family's about, is sharing the experience. Don't hesitate to say,
right,
hey, I'm going to do this. You want to take care of this while I'm doing this? You know, the burden is not all on you to be the best hostess in the world. Because,
right,
even healthies don't do that very well sometimes.
Yeah, and I will say that sometimes family and friends, they will get in the habit of thinking that you will take care of everything. My wife has, she's really gotten on me in the past couple of years about doing everything and not making people or having people help, especially family and friends that come over. She's like, Andre, you can't keep doing this. Your body is breaking down. You have to stop. And so we went from the grand 20-course Christmas and Thanksgiving meals down to something simple and basic. You can't do it all the time. Like, your body needs rest. If they need to do something, if they need to bring a dish, or they need to come over and help cook, why don't they come over and do it for you since you've done it for the past 15, 16 years? Let someone else take over, like, because your body can't, you won't be able to keep doing this. And, I mean, a few times my daughter and her brother, well, I say my kids, my older kids came by, and they cooked both Christmas and Thanksgiving dinner for me on different occasions. But for the most part, everybody has relied solely on me to do everything in my life. She says, no, that needs to stop. And I can't thank her enough for that, because I do have a hard time with telling people no when it comes to feeding people. I've always been taught that I may not have everything in the world, but I will make sure that you are fed and have a roof over your head. And that's just the way I am. I rather break bread with someone than giving them money to go blow it on something that they don't need. Because I learned that if you take time to sit down and eat with someone instead of just giving them a meal, then you will develop a bond and a friendship to where later in life, who knows, they might say, hey, come on over. I appreciate that you took the time to sit down and have a meal with me. And that's why I've always done a lot of my holidays, is that I just cook for everybody. But now with the disease spreading and getting from day to day for me, it's questionable. And I know people with this is with RSD, we all have those days where we're questioning if we can make it through the day. He's worried about what's going to be the outcome of the day or of the holidays. So that, a lot of times, that causes us to have those anxiety attacks. We can't worry. I know it's hard to say we can't worry about it, but we can't beat ourselves up because we want to have everything in control. And what I've learned on a personal level, can't control everything. Even though some things I want to, I'm learning to be okay with not being able to control different aspects of my life anymore. But that's still part of the whole planning process. I know the more I do plan for ahead of time, it does make the transition during that time a little bit smoother. And if it doesn't go where I planned, it's okay because I know plans are made to change.
Yeah. It's being flexible, accepting your limitations, and, you know, being open to asking for help are a lot of things that, you know, almost all of us, almost everyone that I know with RSD is very stubborn, thick-headed, and doesn't like asking for help. And it seems to be a running theme for us, at least the ones that I know. And, you know, it's one of the things that we do have to accept the fact that some days are going to be crappy, especially November. November is, as Andre and I were discovering last month, or last year, we both realized that about the same time period, we both went down and were unable to do our motivational things that we were doing every day for that month. Up until that exact day, we both went down, and after that, we just couldn't recover. And November it's a fitting month for awareness, but at the same time, it's very difficult for us to do awareness because it's November. It's the end of fall. It's the beginning of winter. Are you kidding me? And, you know, so that time period, that 10 days that hit us both was right around Thanksgiving. And it's not like Thanksgiving was extremely emotional or exhausting for me because, you know, my grandparents live across the street. Or my grandfather does. My grandmother passed away a few years ago. But, you know, it's right there. It's not like I have to go very far. You know, I cook things at my house, carry them over. And, you know, so they're prepared. And it's not like we have a lot of pressure on me. So I really have no excuse to be, you know, down for 10 days a month. But I was. And, you know, that being said, you know, with as good as I was doing, I applaud anyone who can, you know, make it through every day, you know, the way you guys do. It's a challenge. So you need to start celebrating. My son and my roommate and I went and celebrated, not this week, but last week, for the first week in 3 weeks in a row in October, not this weekend, but last weekend. That was the first week that I did not miss any work because of pain or because of illness. That was the first week in 3 weeks that I did it. So we went out and celebrated. And we went to, I don't even remember where. It wasn't anything big. You know, it was the Halloween thing anyway. But, you know, we went out to eat. We celebrated. We found a way to, you know, reward myself because I made it. I did good. I did better than I expected. And, you know, that's the thing is on the days that you do good, reward yourself. Say, you know what? I'm going to have a piece of chocolate. It might not be in my diet. It might not be something that I'm supposed to eat, but I want chocolate. Or, you know, if you are going to give yourself extra 5 minutes reading, you know what? Do it. That's your reward. If you do something exceptional, something you are proud of, give yourself a reward. It doesn't have to be food. It doesn't have to be drink. It doesn't have to be, you know, any elaborate present or something, you know. Reward yourself in little ways because their motivation to do better, to live better, to celebrate.
I think you're all nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to forget when I have those multiple down days. Thank you for reminding me of last year.
Yeah,
but,
it was.
Yeah,
you mentioned it. I was like, you know, that's kind of odd. That's exactly 10 days from when I was going to finish my alphabet. Oops.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm getting better at, I'm not going to tell a lie. I'm sorry, everyone. About to say, I don't tell people when I'm in, I do tell people when I'm in pain. I don't. Only Flora, Jackie, and a few others know when I'm in actual pain, where they can actually hear to my voice. My speech changed dramatically. So, but
your
I'm
words
trying
to change.
Oh yeah, that. yeah. See, I become good at planning on how to conceal my pain. So that's, I guess, that's a good topic. How do you conceal your pain, or how do you plan on concealing it? But yeah, I mean, like you said, you have to reward yourself each day. Is that you achieve something, or like before, she said that, hey, she went 3 weeks without missing a day of work from being in pain. There's been many days that I should have stayed at home because I was in a lot of pain, but because of no vacation time or limited vacation time, so I could take it during the Christmas holiday for my boys when they're out of school. So I have to juggle a lot. And luckily, a few times a job asked me to remote in from home to help other people with their stuff. So that was a blessing for me, because a few of those days I was in too much pain and moving was going to be unbearable. But sitting in a comfortable chair to move and talk, yeah, that was a lot of pressure and stress off my body.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, most people, you know, are not working, but for those who are, I hope that my current company keeps me on, because that would mean that I would also have the option to work from home. But, you know, it's one of those things that is ultimately the type of job I'm looking for, is one that I can work from home on my bad days. Because I know that even with being in remission, the other condition that I have that I'm now fighting, yay, there are days where I can't walk. And I've actually scared my employer a couple times, to the point where when they see me starting to fade out or I start walking funny, they're like, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. I'm going to take the first round of medicine. Now I have 3 rounds. I used to have 2. I now have 3 different rounds of medications to try to beat out the condition before it takes my life. And so that's part of the reason why I missed work in October, was because if I know that there's a possibility I am in danger driving home or driving to work, I call in, because they have seen me have to be wheelchaired out of the building before. And at that point, they realize that I'm not faking. I'm not joking about, you know, I'm in pain. It's just a matter of, I want to be there. I want to work. I don't want them to think I'm not being there because I don't want to be there. I really do. It's just the pain is really bad, and I can't think straight. I can't read straight. My brain is just buzzword, click, bang, gone. And I don't want to screw up what I'm doing. So far, luckily, I've only deleted 2 people ever. The first time was pain-related. The second one was just sheer stupidity on my part. But, yes, there has been times where I have actually completely deleted active employees at the company, and I feel so horrible about it, even to today. And that was when I realized that I can't even consider being at work when I'm having difficulties like that. If my hands aren't responding, because that's what happened, was is my hands didn't respond properly, and I accidentally clicked his user ID and right-clicked and hit delete instead of modify. And suddenly he couldn't do his job anymore. Luckily, it didn't take me long to get him back up and running. But the next lady wasn't so quick, and it wasn't so pretty. So, you know, working with RSD, it's not something I recommend for anybody. I'll be honest, I regret it in some ways, but mentally, I couldn't not work. It's not something I can do. It's mentally debilitating for me not to work because I am a workaholic. It is something that, yes, I know, some people joke about it. Mine is literally a legitimate borderline psychological issue. I'm a workaholic. I can't not work. I can't not be active because if I sit still for even a moment, I go crazy. So, you know, I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. But,
I'm in the same boat
don't
with you,
feel bad.
I'm the same way. The 2 months that I was on light duty, it drove me insane, literally.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It got to the point to where I was beyond depressed. Because, I mean, even though I was still working, I wasn't working. So I wasn't doing what I thought I was designed to do. And I'm a physical worker. True enough, yeah, I'm very intelligent. I can sit behind a desk and manage people, but I'm on those hands-on to where I like to help people. I'm not a manager that sits back and let you and just tell you do this because I said so. No, I'm gonna get out there a little bit, sit back with you and work with you and. Who knows? You might teach me something. And I mean, there's been times like this last issue of the RC Angel Express. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm sorry because there were some mistakes that were in there that I thought I had correct. Well, I did correct. I wanted to send out the wrong file, basically, and because I got them confused. And that's because when I was in the final stages of everything, I was in severe flare-up, and I had hit my head, so nothing was really taken.
Yep.
You would tell me one thing, and my brain translated to something else, and it didn't fit, and not until like 3 or 4 days later was it brought to my attention the mistake that I did. So for those
And honestly, it was just a mistake on your part, honey, because you had more than one of us also look it over to check it over, and we even missed it. So it's coming from all of us. It's not just Andre. We did it too, because with our brain fog, you know, we read it, we processed it, we knew that there was something supposed to be there or not supposed to be there, and we just processed it as it's there already. And, you know, we didn't even stop to think, oh, yeah, we need that. So, you know, it's not like you screwed up, hun, because we failed you too. Our brain fog was right along with you. We just didn't have the oops. And, yeah. Man, you worried me, by the way. I was almost glad to hear you hit your head, because the way you were typing, I was really worried.
I hadn't slept. I was in so much pain. And I had a headache. I mean, for those that don't know, my RC started in my head. I was stabbed in the back of the head. If you read any of my books, or any of my inspirational books, you'll know the story. About what happened to me. So basically, a lot of times when I go into a flare, if it starts in my head, I'm no good. I can't even form a complete sentence at the time, and it gets bad. And that weekend, it was Halloween weekend, so it was very trying. My kids wanted to go, kids wanting to eat their candy and everything else, watch movies, but I was trying to do that and also be part of chat for RC Doesn't Own Me, and it was not working for me that day. I couldn't even, anything that I kept trying to type or do, it fell apart. I dropped, I think, with a 3 or 4 cup that afternoon and evening. And it, yeah, I don't know, I felt so bad, and even when I go through the flares like this, we all know about the burning pins, all that razor blade, all that feeling. Imagine that all over your head. And
nope.
Even if during that time my hair was growing, I do shave my head. I have to do it when I'm not in a bad flare. I got to catch it right before, or I got to wait maybe 3 or 4 days afterwards before I can. Because if not, what happens is when I feel the hair growing, it gets worse with each passing minute. So I try to cut it to, it burns after I cut my, after I shave, but it's, I can deal with that than the constant, like, there's fire ants eating at my head constantly as the hair grows, even on my face. It was to the point where if you touch my head, I would cringe. I would have anxiety attack. So that's why, I mean, I have a, to show you how bad it is for me, I have a procedure or process or routine that I do repeatedly when it comes to making sure that I don't go into a flare in my head or my hand. I do have anxiety attacks, especially around the holidays, because I was stabbed right around Christmas. So simply with knives and stuff like that, I become more, I can't find the words to describe. I become more in a defensive stand to where my demeanor is that I'm always on guard, to where if I see someone with a knife, I'll have to keep them in my sight of vision to where I'll never be behind my back. That's something that I have to work on. And like I said, it's all in the planning stages for anything that I do. And like Laura, I'm a workaholic. If I don't work or if I'm not busy, it drives me
insane. Hey, honey, you're bustling up a little bit. We're having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was leaning back. I said that. I started getting real comfortable. For me to handle my process or the stuff I have to go through, it is long and tedious. I do, like I said, like you, I am a workaholic. I'm not working. It drives me insane. I feel like my life has meaning, or that I'm a burden to people. So it's like you, I do dread the fact that I have chosen to keep working. But at the same token, I know I have 3 small children that I have to take care of, and I don't want that. That's fully on my wife. And so she has enough on her plate. I don't need enough. I don't want her to feel like, I don't feel like I put any more on her than, because like most people say, they didn't sign up for this type of you know, for better or worse, sickness and health. Some people aren't. They don't plan for that. They don't understand that. And sometimes that's why the holiday times are, I don't want to say the deadliest time of the year for people in relationships, but a lot of abuse happens during that time. And when people with RSD, if you're in a relationship like that, be mindful of red flags. Huh?
It's very stressful. I mean, just...
Yes, it is.
The family social situation in and of itself, you know, add in the pressure of a relationship that's, you know, maybe having some challenges. I cannot stress enough, if you're in a relationship, you know, don't feel bad if you decide to ask them if they will go to counseling with you. There is nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's the best thing that you can do. Don't shut them out. Keep them in your life, because, you know, it is really easy to push people away. It really is, because you don't want to drag them down. You don't want to stress them out. You don't want to do that. But the thing is many, many people forget that when you do push them away, when you do keep them out, they do stop being in love with you. They do stop feeling that connection, because you are separating yourself from them.
not intentionally and meaning to push them away, but just a matter of you're trying in your own way to defend them, to protect them, but at the same time you're hurting them. You're hurting what you had. So don't hesitate. If you are under stress, if you are having problems yourself with the pain, with depression, things like that, don't hesitate to go and get help. Don't have a hard time with bringing them to an appointment. Make sure your doctor knows that your spouse is going to come with and whatnot. And it is okay to discuss some of the uglier things, because that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. And I just want to say, tonight's show is not 2 hours. Yeah, I only said for 90 minutes. All because didn't want to drag out the planning up for the holidays, and as well people get understanding, or you know, start putting more thought into it, and maybe they can come up with some other stuff of their own. And if you want to send me or go over to rcdom.org. Register as a new member and let us know that, hey, I was to AM Styles of Flora on this is it, and can be in truth. Or you can email me at a.m.styles247@gmail. Let us know what you think and what you feel might be good ideas as far as planning, whatever. And we will share that with people that we come over to our website, because what we try to do with this show is the feedback that we get, we do post it so that way people can have other resources. So anything that you may write or ideas you may have, share them with us. Let other people know. That's the whole part of sharing and making share and make aware.
Yep.
And that's the whole reason for the show. And like I said,
if you have problems getting email address written down on the rcdom.org website, if you go to the RSC Angel Express newsletter, which has all of the previous editions, so all the way back to last year's special holiday edition, there is a link right on there that if you click on it, it will take you to his Facebook, or you can reach Andre's Facebook, and then there's a contact us. So you can use any one of those to reach out. And I think at the bottom in the comments, yep, there is a response that Andre put up, and it says a.m.styles247@gmail.com. You can click on that link, and it'll send an email to him right away. So you don't even have to try to remember what it is or get it written down. That's right on the
RSC Angel. And to let everybody know that I do answer every email that I get, every request for the newsletter. I do interact with people that reach out to me. So I just want everybody to know that on the rcdom.org website, you'll probably see me as one of the chat supervisors or moderators on there. I go by Leaf, which is my middle name, part of the AM style. So like I said, you can find a lot of resources there. Same with Share and Make Aware on Facebook. Or RC Doesn't Own Me on Facebook. There's a bunch of support groups, no matter where you are. If you're in Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, California, Chicago,
New Jersey,
New Jersey, Midwest. I mean, there's a bunch of
New Zealand
support groups. Our goal is for everyone to reach out. Don't feel like you have to plan for anything alone. And that was one reason why I did the first edition of the holiday edition for RC Angel Express, is because I don't want people that didn't have anyone to feel like they had no one to talk to or feel alone, basically. So I was like, well, I'll take this time and write the first edition. And from that point on, it's like, I'll just do it every so often, so that way it gets to something to look forward to, that, like, they're a part of something. And believe me, you all are part of a part of this newsletter. I've gotten so many images from people to where I have to laugh at some of the stories that people want, and the giggle therapy or laughter part, or just them saying, hey, we've gotten proclamations for RC Awareness Month. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That makes me happy that people are responding and sending in stuff. So keep doing that. Like I said,
this newsletter
is for you all. It's not about me. It's about our community. What we can do is to spread the awareness, spread the knowledge, but the same token show a different side that sometimes we all forget about in life, and that we will laugh. There are medical things that we didn't know. There are people that are advocates out there that are fighting to get the recognition that we all need. So that's another part of the whole planning for the holidays or planning period. It's taking the time to take a step forward. I mean, put a foot forward. And that's another reason why, as you notice, I'm having a hard time speaking right now. That's why I set the show for tonight to be 90 minutes, because I know that there is another storm that is about to hit this area for the next day or two. My body goes haywire within 1 or 2 days of storm coming through. So please forgive me if my words seem like I'm stumbling over my words repeatedly. That's because I'm trying to fight the urge to fall out and have a conniption at my mom would say.
Yeah, no, I understand completely, and I'm pretty sure all of us have been at that point too, because our tongues like to trip over themselves, or, you know, they want to race ahead before our brain can finish thinking what we're saying. So, no, I think all of us at some point have been in that position, and it's completely understandable, hun. You know, and you are right. We are here for each other. That's the whole point. Is, you know, we understand how crazy and how weird this is compared to what, you know, our family, our friends might experience. There is something in last year, and I'm going to discuss with the other admins for RCDOM, but I want to see if anyone else on the team is willing to give a couple hours or maybe an hour on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It's something that I've been thinking about, and I think, you know, if we do it at the right times, you know, kind of move it around on time zones, we might be able to get some of the UK members able to come in by doing it earlier in the day, just for maybe an hour or so, and maybe have small chat sessions throughout those couple days, or have it open for anybody who needs to come in, and, you know, maybe set it up something so that we have an opportunity for people. So watch the rcdom.org/chat page, because if there is any changes for the schedule, that will be the first place it's posted. Because I know it's holidays, many of us, you know, feel secluded, or family for some, or, you know, the family doesn't believe in it, or they're too far away, we feel separated. So, you know, the opportunity to try to open up chat, I'm looking into those hours and the time of day and what we can do to maybe at least have it open so that if someone needs to go in and just talk with somebody, you know, have somebody to be there. I'm trying to figure out a good time to maybe do like an hour block here and there so that maybe a couple of us can be in there, because we try to at least have always two administrators in there. That way there's two set of eyes. So if one person, you know, misunderstands something, the other person, you know, can try to clarify or whatever, if something happens, like one needs to go get dinner, that one can go do that, and then the other one's kind of helping cover the room for that time period. That way, because we all know we don't walk very fast, so if we need to go to the restroom, it's going to be a little bit. So,
yep.
You know, that opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's something that I'm discussing with the team just to see what we can do.
Right. And I just want to reiterate, I also want to state that besides the rcdom.org website, there's also rcsa.org website, and you can Google or search for U.S. Pain Foundation, to not only for RSV, but they can, if you have any other illnesses that deal with pain, I shouldn't say just pain, but I mean, reach out to someone. During the holidays, it can be very stressful, and you don't want people to be stressed out or feeling like they can't deal with any of this. So please do a search. If you don't know who to turn to or whatever, come out to rcdom.org. Hit us up. We'll direct you in to an area or support groups where it will fit your needs. And that's the whole thing. We all need support. We're not here to do it alone or feel like we have to do it alone. And I always say in every show, like Flora, Krista, Jackie, Bree, Rose, Eileen, I forget, Broken Toy over in the UK. There's so many people, Liza in South Africa, Lisa. There's so many people that I know I've helped. Omega in the Tennessee support group, Tracy in the Oklahoma, Rich Garcia in the Texas, Andy in Texas. I mean, there's so many that I can name off that I've talked to or that have reached out to me to have me let people know that they're there for to help you and to talk. So please reach out, talk to someone, start planning on being more active, not just sitting around and just feeling like your world has come to an end. Volunteer, rcdom.org. We need volunteers. I volunteer. We can never have enough volunteers. Even for the newsletter.
You need the newsletter, the doing. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, and one of the things that I included on the publication of, you know, if you want to volunteer, because we actually have a page dedicated to if you want to volunteer. When you go to About Us, it's under Interested in Volunteering. If you click on that, one of the things that is included is do you want to do it for an hour a week? Do you want to do it for, you know, more than an hour a week? You know, little things like that. Also, you know, are you interested in doing research? Are you wanting to help with, you know, the RSV Angel Club? Do you want to do editing, you know, proofreading, you know, or other things? You know, if you have ideas, if you have something that you want to bring to the table, and, you know, you've thought about it and you think that this would, one of the big things is RCDOM is dedicated to not just the U.S. We try to do support for wherever there are no support groups. So, you know, there's little things that we can do to help make other people's day. You know, we used to make images all the time, and creating motivational pictures is on there. You know, so little things like that. But if there's something that you haven't seen anybody do or you would like to do and would like to, you know, have us help you do it, send an email. When you fill out this little form on our website, it sends an email to me and to Chris, the other founder. We both check it literally every hour of the day. And, you know, when we see it, we talk back and forth and say, hey, that's a good idea, or, you know, this is something we can maybe implement in a few months. You know, we just have to get everything set up in place. You know, little things like that. We kind of brainstorm back and forth together, and we'll work with you. We'll see what we can do to help you because, you know, our community is not just you and me. It's not just me and the next door neighbor. It's not just me and the person in the next town over. It's the whole world. We are fighting a monster. And I don't think most people notice it in the U.S. or the U.K., but we actually have a translation part on our website. So, you know, we try to make it so it is universal so that people who don't speak English can put it in their language. So, you know, we try to help the global community as best we can. We know we can't all speak foreign languages. I speak German and Russian. I believe Andre speaks a couple extra as well. You know, so, you know, we can try to understand when someone in a foreign language messages us. I've had conversations with people in Portuguese. I don't speak Portuguese, but translate helps. You know, and I make sure that they understand. I don't speak Portuguese, so if this doesn't come out right, I am so sorry. You know, but, you know, I've talked with people that have that are in South America that speak Portuguese. I've talked to some people, I believe they're in Israel, because of the Israel area support group, and I help them get their page set up, you know. So it's not just a matter of, you know, working with us, but if you need help, you know, getting a support group locally that you want up on our page to share, let us know. We can try to help give you at least some information, you know, and if you don't speak English, you may not understand this conversation, but it's still the sentiment is there. We're
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Support for this podcast comes from UTSA's Graduate School, which has a top-tier program for your field of study and outstanding opportunities for hands-on research and scholarly publishing. The University of Texas at San Antonio. Visit utsa.edu/graduate to learn more or apply.